Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Tales of Three. Ew.
I think I drank it.
I quit. I'm quitting the podcast. Bye, everybody. This is my last intro. It's also my outro. Ugh. Welcome back to Tales of Three.
She's just a little guy.
My name is Dusty. My pronouns are they, she, and I play Ivy Nightbreeze Tinkerfey, whose pronouns are she, her. And I was going to talk about the Grim Reaper, but now I can't stop thinking
about
about Ari drinking an insect.
By accident. Well, I kind of knew it was going to happen. I just didn't know when.
Voluntarily drinking a fruit fly.
It was either that or get up and get a spoon and fish it out. And I'm committed to this project, so.
And I'm so incredibly obsessed with your priorities.
Thank you.
I would have gotten up. I would have just not drank the rest of the drink, actually.
But it's so good.
It's contaminated now.
I would have dumped it out and made a new one.
I think the fruit fly gladly gave his life to get a sip of this tea.
And give you protein.
Hello.
He would have had it. That would have been his tea in post-mortem.
Did I break my vegetarianism?
Yes.
Yes. Hello, everyone. My name is Ariana. My pronouns are she, her. I play Alara Spindlespark, whose pronouns are also she, her. And as you just heard, I just drank a fruit fly. And we saw a Grim Reaper or something. Not in real life, because, woof, that would be scary.
Well, good news. You got a decent amount of fiber and protein from that fruit fly, so.
Did you just look it up?
I did. Also, hello everyone. My name is Wayra. My pronouns are she, they, and I play Varys. His pronouns are he, they. And I also was going to talk about the Grim Reaper and how death finds us all eventually, no matter what. But then Ari drank a fruit fly, and now everything has gone out of my brain.
And Wayra got their new desk.
Yeah.
It's official. It's here. They're sitting at it.
I'm sitting at it right now. It's fantastic. Woo-hoo. Thank you all so much.
Yay. And we hope you enjoy your incentives, because they've definitely been out for months. You can tell how in advance we record these.
Yeah.
A note regarding content warnings. This campaign is a dark fantasy that deals consistently with topics of body horror, complicated relationship dynamics, emotional distress, fantasy violence, gore, mechanized spiders, mental health and illness, profanity, and romantic and sexual relationships. A full list of episode-specific content warnings can always be found in the show notes of each episode. Last time, our group finally freed the Piracor and its eggs. Velrith, who is actually the famed dragon of Elisora that Alara had read about, teleported the Piracor and its babies to safety. On the high of their success, they decided to get to work, and the entire town pitched in to drain the water, mend the structural damage, and replace the gears, while Alara worked out the arcane equations on the crystals. At some point, Alara tried to recreate the vision she had by standing in the same spot, and she was able to feel and hear an echo of the events, but it left her with a pounding headache. Soon after, Alara had Ivy stand in the same spot, and to Ivy's surprise, she saw Lyca's death and was able to talk to Ghost Lyca after a spectral hand touched Ivy, leaving her own hand throbbing in pain. After Ivy promised to get a message to Lyca's father and sister, a cloaked amorphous figure appeared and took Lyca into the light. Later in the day, Ivy snuck away to go chat with Lyca's father, River. In a very heartfelt moment, Ivy told River that it wasn't his fault and that Lyca loved him. He was sad to learn his child was trapped, unable to move on for a month, but grateful for both Ivy's message and help. And we pick up now with our trio meeting back up.
Okay, so you start making your way back to the dam, or do you?
I do, because again, I wasn't joking when I was like, listen, I snuck out.
Yeah.
If somebody finds out I'm missing.
Well, you get back and work is almost all done now. They're actually just kind of regathering at the front of the dam. Looks like you snuck out at a great point.
I love avoiding work.
I think you already did the bulk of it, so.
Yeah.
You put in your due. So yeah, you're all reconvening. Alara and Varys are standing there outside the door. And they see you coming from a different direction than inside the dam. What does Ivy look like? Is she okay?
Yeah, she's fine. I think she's a little more melancholy. She's not crying or anything. But when she sees the two of them, she's like, oh, we done already?
We are, yes.
We did it.
Hooray.
I think all that's left really is the crystals now tomorrow. We did great.
Perfect.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm exhausted.
very exhausted.
What time is it? Is it late?
It's pretty late. The sun has long gone down. You emerged out into darkness, for sure. I think you think it's probably close to like 10-ish, somewhere around there. Everybody's already kind of meandering off to their homes for the night. Everybody's waving goodbye and saying, see you tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Food, shower, sleep.
Just what the doctor ordered. That's good.
In that order.
Mm-hmm. You arrive at the inn. The food is made for you for the night. Hot baths are available.
We eat and we shower.
Perfect.
I think while they're eating, she says to Varys, do you think that you can put my mattress back in my room when we get up there? If you're not too tired?
No, I definitely can do that for you. Are you sure?
If he gives you a look.
She nods. Well, yes and no, I guess. I want to try to sleep on my own. The danger's gone. The town is safe. We do have 1,000 guards. And I want to be able to sleep in my own room. To know that I can, you know?
All right. Yeah, I'll go on ahead. He's already done eating, so he heads upstairs and I'll just move your mattress into your room for you. Leave you two alone at the table.
So how are you feeling?
Exhausted, but pretty good. I mean, I think she's got like a cup of hot tea and she's just like got it cupped up to her face and she's blowing on it. We did a really cool thing, you know?
I agree.
How are you feeling?
I'm tired, I think. But overall, it was a good time.
It's kind of cool to just, you know, be a hero, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, we really helped them, you know?
We did.
And we saved, like, I mean, it was completely unintentional. We just went blundering into everything. But all of the blundering resulted in, we figured out the blight. We found Lyca. You helped her move on. We inadvertently helped Tekoa move on, I think.
We did.
We fixed the dam. We saved the babies. We didn't have to fight a Piracor. We met a dragon. Have you ever... She takes a deep breath. It's a lot of stuff.
It was a lot of stuff.
Do you think Valrath will transform into a dragon? Do you think he can?
Yes. I think he can, and I think he would if need be. Well, I don't know if...
Yeah.
If I just asked him?
To just, like, do a few loops around, you know? She gets, like, a really... Do you think he would let me ride him?
Possibly.
I mean, you recall he said he's married.
You know, he is married, Alara. I don't know if they've got, like, an open thing, but you'd probably have to ask...
She looks at you, confused.
I mean, you probably have to, like, build a rapport before you can just be like, hey, can we hop into bed, or...
What?
I wanted to ride him.
Like a dragon flying in the high in the sky. Maybe doing, like, upside down flips, you know, if there's, like, a... I don't know how you can hold on, but... Not sex, Ivy.
Listen, I just know your proclivities.
She gets... She puts her tea down.
No, I'm sorry.
She comes back.
Honestly, I don't know.
It would probably be inappropriate, right?
I don't... You know, I don't really know what he would find inappropriate or not.
She nods. Okay. I was just thinking about it. After a little bit of silence, she looks at Ivy. You know, you really did a great job.
She, like, blinks at you. Me?
Yeah, just, like, overall, you know?
Oh.
Giving orders and helping figure stuff out. I think we did a really good thing.
I think so, too.
She nods. How's your hand feel?
Is my hand better?
Yeah, it doesn't hurt anymore. It's strange.
It doesn't hurt anymore.
Same with your head, Alara. No pain.
Good. Can we go upstairs?
All right. Alara, your mattress is back in your bed, and it is made.
Uh-huh. She goes into her room, all by her lonesome, and, like, just looks around. And she nods her head. She's like, you can do this. And I guess she'll go shower, and then she'll get in her jammies, and then she'll go back in her room. What does Ivy do?
Ivy's also going to shower and get ready for bed.
When you go into your room, Ivy, Varys went in the room first, right?
Yeah.
So Varys, when you walked into the room, you did see on the floor, like right when you walk in, there's a note with Ivy's name on it.
He smiles a bit and leaves it right where it is.
He's not going to read it?
Is it sealed?
It's in like an envelope. It's not sealed.
Yeah, he's going to read it.
You open it. It says, "Sorry to cancel last minute and not in person. My brother took a turn for the worse, and I'm staying with him overnight. Heard you had an eventful day at the dam. Hope it went well, Rayla."
Okay, he puts it back in the envelope and puts it right back on the floor. Actually, no, he's going to put it on the bed.
Okay.
That way he knows she's going to see him. And he's going to go be ready for bed himself.
So you put the note down. So we'll follow you, Varys. What do you do when you get into your room?
I think that, you know, after he showered and stuff, he's going to go in. And it feels weird to be, like, in his room on his own, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like they've shared a room almost pretty much every night since the incident happened. So, and he's going to take out a notebook. He's going to sit into his bed with his spellbook as well. And he's going to, first, he starts studying his spells again, kind of miming hand movements, but never letting it finish so it doesn't cast, never harnessing the energy to cast it. I think that when that's done, he's going to sit there with a notebook and kind of try to piece together his brain a little more, memories that he has parts of that don't connect to other parts, figure out where in the blankness of his mind it belongs, you know? He's going to write out what he remembers and see what fits where. And I think that, like, as he's trying to, like, puzzle these things together, the more that he realizes that nothing is making sense, the more it's, like, frustrating him and the more anxious that he's getting. Like, I think he stops sitting down at one point and just abandons writing altogether and he just kind of starts absently pacing.
Why don't you make a wisdom check to see if you could try to pull on anything or try to piece anything together?
11.
No. It's probably really frustrating.
No, he's making sense. I think before he realizes, like, his heart starts beating a little bit fast, like on the verge of an anxiety attack. So he stops pacing and he just sits on his bed and just kind of, like, starts rubbing his temples, trying to calm down. Because, like, that's not productive. So he's just kind of starting to breathe, try to breathe through it.
Yeah. I think you're successful and it starts to kind of slow. And then suddenly you get hit with this wave of anxiety.
I think that he kind of does this thing that's kind of self-soothing. He kind of puts the palms of his hands and presses them on both sides of his chest, kind of like crossing them over. It almost looks like a strangle motion, but he's really just putting pressure on the top of his chest.
Mm-hmm. And you do that. It doesn't exactly subside. It's strange. It kind of feels like there is just this, like, shadow of anxiety that you can't shake.
I feel like that's going to make the anxiety worse.
And while you sit with that.
Yeah.
What's Ivy doing? She takes a shower.
She takes a shower. She gets ready for bed. She finds a letter.
On her bed.
She nods, sets it on the desk, and then starts reading, I think.
Is she going to update Titania?
Yeah. She gets into bed with the book, starts to open it, sighs a bit, and then gets up and heads for the rock.
Hmm. You knock on Alara's door.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she knocks on Alara's door.
You hear a little shuffle of noise. And with your passive perception, you can hear Alara has, like, moved up to the door. But she doesn't say anything. She's, like, listening.
It's me, Alara.
She opens it. A crack. Hey, are you too afraid to sleep?
Are you afraid to sleep? Insight check.
You can insight check her. Not very good.
14.
Rollies. 14.
Oh. 12.
6. She looks nervous, a little startled by having somebody knock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
But she just looks at you.
Can I have the rock?
Oh, time for your nightly check-in.
Mm-hmm.
She leaves the door cracked open, and she goes and gets it out of her pocket and comes back to the door and hands it to you.
Perfect.
Have fun.
She goes back into her room.
Also, who are the guards tonight?
The guards for tonight are the AAA squad, which
the
is
AAA?
Anika, Enri, and Aaron.
Ooh.
Aaron is an Eladrin from the capital.
Of course he is.
One gem fighter. Enri is a halfling warlock from town. Okay. She's the one with the red hair that was helping Ivy.
Oh, Oh, she waves at you, Ivy.
Yeah, she gives a little nod. And of course, Anika.
Best friend.
Our favorite tiefling sorcerer.
Sorceress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
I just update her essentially on everything that happened today, including going and talking to that guy. I don't tell her that I snuck away, but I went and delivered a message.
Do you tell her that you saw the Grim Reaper?
Yeah. Why the fuck not?
Do you tell her about your hand?
Yeah.
It sounds like it was a very eventful day. Productive.
It was. Eventful and productive.
And even I have never seen the Grim Reaper, so...
It was wild.
It is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Something to think about. When you come back, we can discuss it further.
All right.
So tomorrow, you will go in and hopefully finish?
Hopefully, yes. I think we should be able to. It just depends on, you know, if the dam wants to be finished, I think.
And then we will arrange for you to head back.
So I actually did have a question about that.
Mm.
Would it be possible to extend my, like, foray into the Feywild?
For what?
There's something happening in Politonia, and I would really like to go and check it out and help the town. Because I think they're in trouble, and it's affecting people here, too.
Do you think it has anything to do with the Blight and the Unseelie?
Do I?
No, you have no...
No, it's plant shit?
Yeah, you have no reason to think it does, unless it's... The only connection you can make is that how they kind of sabotaged here, it could be a similar situation, like with the Piracor, how they brought the Piracor in.
Yeah.
So that you're not sure about, but other than that, you don't think so?
I honestly don't believe so. It sounds more like plant issue. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's not like overgrown with plants. It's like maybe sentient people eating plants.
They are known to exist here, so.
They are, right. But nothing like Unseelie or...
Why don't you get through tomorrow and we can touch base then? If you go, I will send you with a regiment of guards at your disposal and for your protection.
All right.
Let me think on it. Let me do my own investigation. And, yes, let's touch base tomorrow. I'm glad that you had a good day.
Me too. Good night.
Good night.
Love you.
She says I love you too.
Okay. Do you do anything else?
No. Now she gets into bed and reads.
Okay. Monster Smut?
I am reading
Varys Left the Doppelganger.
The Doppelganger inside of me.
She's like, let's see what this is all about.
Okay, let's see what this is about.
Varys did leave it in the room, so.
Amazing. So we'll leave Ivy and we'll check on Alara. And I think that when Ivy left Alara's room, Alara closed the door. She looks around the room and she's already taken a bunch of stuff out of her pockets. She's put an alarm on the window. She's got stuff all on the window. It looks really reminiscent of the other night that she spent by herself. I think she puts the chair back in front of the door too. Her idea of spending the night alone is kind of turning into a repeat of that first night when they interrupted her, you know, and checked on her. And so I think she just sits on her bed with like her knees kind of hugged up against her chest, and she hugs her legs into her knees and rests her chin on her knees and is just like, she's got her worry stone in one hand, Pearl is out, kind of nuzzled up against her, and she's just like trying to take deep breaths, and she's like, you can do this, it's fine, you're safe. And like her chest is pounding and she like feels like the panic coming on, and she's just kind of like trying to self-soothe her way.
I think she'll feel, as you're sitting there, being an anxious little being. It's weird. It feels like a kind of like a warm, like a gentle tingle in the back of your head. I don't know if you've ever gotten like this thing called friction, where you get like tingles when you listen to music or something really, and makes the back of your head tingle, where you get a chill. It feels kind of similar to that. And it feels familiar, oddly. I don't know how Lara feels about that. But, and then she hears, hello, Lara, are you busy at the moment? You can respond in your mind.
She looks around for a second.
No?
He's like, she doesn't give me any more than that, huh? Okay, cool. And then he gets up, and he's not gonna cast again, though he thinks it would be funny if he did. He's gonna go over to her door, and he's gonna knock on it.
She jumps. And you also, with your passive perception, hear her just, like, go to the door and stand there.
Elara, it's me.
You hear a chair move, and she opens it.
Hello.
Hey.
Would you be willing and able to help me with a project?
Yes. Can't sleep?
No. You?
She opens the door, and you see it's all set up for an ambush. Home Alone style.
Yeah, he nods. You know, it makes sense.
I thought I would be, like, I thought I would be so tired, you know, that I couldn't, like, think about anything. And I would just be so tired that I would fall asleep, but apparently not.
Our minds are a terrible place sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Do you go in the room?
I do, yeah.
She closes the door.
Before he says anything, he kind of looks around the room to see all the traps set up again. Like, even more than he thought.
She smiles awkwardly.
Yeah.
Like, she can't hide it, you know?
He's not judging her or anything. He just is like, impressive setup, you know? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he knows why. And he feels awful for it. You know, you don't have to be embarrassed about it. There's nothing to be ashamed of, Alara.
She nods. I thought I would be fine. Everything is safe. The bad people are gone. We're like super protected. We have a literal God who's looking out for us. So I thought I would give it a try, but she shrugs.
You thought you were safe though, too, when that happened. So I understand how your mind is still racing, right?
That's the thing. It's not even so much my mind. It's like my mind knows, but my body is freaking out.
Hmm. It's a trauma from it. It's okay if it takes a while, you know, for that to subside.
She nods.
You're not bothering us with it, you know?
I know. I just wish I could be more like the both of you, I guess. Braver. Not so afraid.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I'm pretty sure the very definition of bravery, Alara, is being afraid and doing it anyway. And if that is the case, then you are probably the bravest of us all.
She kind of nods. Maybe.
Don't tell Ivy I said that. He kind of winks, mm-hmm. Just jokingly.
Well, you know, speaking of Ivy, I can't figure her out. Either she really is the toughest, strongest, bravest, most unaffected person that I've ever met in my life, or she's a liar, not in like a bad way, but like in a way that I worry about her. Because I think that she's hurting underneath. And I don't know if it's just because I think if I were her, you know, I would be hurting underneath. But every time I try to talk to her, it's like, I can't. She like shuts me out. And I don't know how. I probably don't ask the right questions. Because I'm not so great at that kind of stuff, you know?
Not.
But I just hope, like, I just worry about her.
I do too. I'm not Ivy, but I think that it makes sense that if you have been handling things alone for a long time and isolated like that, that it would be hard to let people in. I don't know if she would know, you know, how, right? I think that all we can do is just continue to show up and be there for her and ask how she's doing. And whenever she's ready, maybe the wall will crack just a little.
She nods.
And we'll wiggle our way in.
She laughs. It's a good plan.
I'm here for the long game, you know, so I'll wait for as long as it takes.
She smiles when you say that. Me too. So you needed help with something?
I do. Do you happen to have the stone?
Which one? I have a lot of stones.
That's valid. The one for Titania.
No, funny enough, Ivy came and got it.
Okay.
She has to do her nightly reporting, I guess, you know?
Right.
What are you thinking?
Do you think it's weird that Titania can just sort of...
Yes!
Right.
Yes!
Okay, so I'm not the only one.
No.
I would like to try to...
Stop it?
Right. Or like, you know, make a way to turn it off and on.
She reaches into her pocket and she takes out a notebook that has the arcane equations written on it that are from the rock. I don't have the rock, but I have a replication of what's on there.
Honestly, Alara, what would we do without you?
She just kind of smirks.
He kind of like looks at the equation. Says, I'm thinking sort of like, because we need to turn that into an earring of something, right? Or a pendant.
It'll be easier. Yeah, to have, so that, yeah.
So Ivy can have it on her at all times, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to, I don't know, maybe there's like a copper wire we can use or some sort of clamp.
Mm-hmm.
To sever the connection.
She takes out some copper wire. She's sitting on her bed because she has her jacket there. And you watch her coax Pearl back into her pocket. Not coax her because she just listens, but she goes into her pocket because she knows you feel uncomfortable. And she pats the edge of the bed.
Oh, he is appreciative of sending Pearl away. But honestly, at first he didn't even notice she was there.
Fair.
But he does come over and sit down.
So, okay, here's the thing, though. I think we should leave it so that we can hear her all the time.
Right.
So that we know when she's trying to reach out, but she can't hear us until we disconnect the mechanism.
Exactly. That's my thought, too. I just don't know where in the equation we would get that done.
Well, what if we have two pieces of the equation, one on the gem and one on the copper wire, so that when they're touching, it's complete. So we rune part of the equation on the gem. Does that make sense?
It does. It's the same concept of finishing a rune to complete the spell, right?
So every time it touches, it's technically completing it, but when it's not touching, she can't hear. What if she can hear us right now? She whispers.
She's in the other room, right?
Yeah.
He gives the bird to the ceiling. So just in case, you know?
I think they can work on that for a while, right?
Yeah. We'll spend some time on that for a little bit.
They probably, like, maybe, like, lulls of conversation, kind of working in silence at some points.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe after, like, a long stretch of silence, at one point, she looks up at you as you're, like, working, maybe, like, not looking, like, not noticing that she's watching you. And then you hear her kind of, like, sigh or, like, make a noise as if she's gonna say something. Was it really difficult? When you had the blight on you?
I think he looks up at you like a little surprised that that's where you went with the conversation. It's weird, but he kind of forgot about it. He kind of pushed it away so he didn't have to think about it. But he considers the question. It was more difficult than I had hoped it would be, for sure. But, you know, I'm just, and he closes his eyes and shakes his head. I don't ever want you two to see any part of me being dark again. Never. So even letting loose that little bit of irritation, I feel awful for it, and I'm sorry.
She shakes her head. No, I mean, it's like I said, it's okay. I understand that it wasn't something that you were doing on purpose, but I also kind of realized it must have been harder for you than it was for me, because, and she's like nodding her head slowly. Well, you know, Titania blessed the town, right? All the people who, I don't think she knows what to say, because she doesn't want to say are good, because she doesn't want to classify you as like bad. So she takes a second to try to figure out how to phrase it. All the people who do good deeds, and then all the people who have done bad deeds got cursed. And you got cursed.
You know. Us.
I know you've said it multiple times since we've known each other, that you're not a great person or that you weren't. And I probably guess I just didn't want to believe it. But I mean, it's hard to believe it. Because you've been so good to us and you help people. We help people. But, you know, it's kind of, well, that was kind of like some kind of proof of the things that are weighing on you, I guess, you know?
He nods.
And I'm proud of you for trying to be better.
I think that, like, again, his eyes widen a bit in surprise at the I'm proud of you thing for a couple of reasons. One, because she said it. And two, because of how nice it felt to hear it, that I'm proud of you. And then, like, the embarrassment of how, like, something so simple could make him feel so nice. But he kind of shakes that away internally. Thank you. That means a lot.
She nods. If you ever need help, I'm here to help.
I think he kind of gives, like, her a little half smile. And in his head, he's just thinking of all the shit that he's been running away from and the things that he wants to talk to her about. He can't help but think that when she finds out everything, that may not be the case. So he doesn't 100% believe her, only because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he believes that she means it now.
Thank you. I may take you up on that, if that ever happens. But same to you, you know? If you ever need help with anything, you know where I am.
All you do, though, is help. Me, Ivy, you've been watching out for us since the beginning, and you've been really patient and kind, which I think is why I had such a hard time wrapping my head around the things that you may have done, and I know that we should probably talk about it at some point, but not tonight. I'm just brain overload, you know?
Not. Some night I will tell you both everything that I've done, but not tonight.
Tonight, we should rest.
Especially you need your sleep for tomorrow.
Are you going to stay up and keep watch for me?
I will if that's what you need.
She shakes her head no. She takes the stuff, whatever you're working on, out of your hand, clears off everything on the bed, and like scoots back with her back up against the wall. I'm going to keep watch tonight. I think that you deserve to just rest. And she like pats her like thigh, like for you to like rest your head in her lap. If you want to.
You really should get some rest too, then, Laura.
I'll probably fall asleep shortly after, I'm not gonna lie. And I'm good at sleeping sitting up or in like small spaces, so it's totally fine.
All right. I think he kind of like moves over, crawls over onto the bed and lays his head down. Awkwardly at first, but eventually he just kind of chills.
I think she plays with your hair. She, like, maybe, like, draws shapes on your back, like, absentmindedly after a while. And if you don't fall asleep, she probably falls asleep sitting up in, like, a half hour. But...
No, I think he dozes off, for sure.
Varys, as you start to settle into sleep, I would like you to make a wisdom saving throw.
It's 19.
Okay.
Is it good or bad?
That's good.
Okay. I'm terrified.
You're standing outside of a tavern, assuming a random identity, watching a building down the street. As the door pushes open, you feel a tingle brush the back of your mind. There is a barely contained excitement that wells within you. It starts at the base of your skull and washes over you. You hear her as you see her push the door open. She can barely stop herself from skipping towards her destination.
Carwin, you should have been there.
Her voice bursts into your mind and you smile, nodding to her as she walks past and smiles back to who she thinks is a stranger.
They let me assist. They even wanted to see my plans and my work. They asked me to come back tomorrow.
That's wonderful. I never doubted you.
You smile and look around. It's later in the evening. It's a small town. There's no one about, and even if they were, the chances of anyone recognizing you is very low. She walks towards a bridge that leads back to the inn she's staying at. The moon is bright and full, and the sky has this pinkish hue to it. She hops on the ledge of the bridge, doing her best to balance her way across. You cannot see it, but somehow you feel her smile.
You should go outside and see the moon.
You're walking towards her, and as you do, your form shifts to Carowyn.
I would, but I'm currently looking at something far more beautiful at the moment.
What's more beautiful than a full moon and sky full of stars?
She's distracted, watching the sky and not her feet.
Watch your step, Spock.
She looks down too late. Her foot gets caught in a divot in the ledge and she stumbles, but your hand catches hers. Her eyes go wide and then soften as they land on you. She steps off the ledge as you wrap your arms around her, holding her off the ground. She runs a hand through your hair, studying your face.
Well, you're right. This is definitely better than the moon.
I told you.
She looks around suddenly, worried someone might see. But then it's like she feels your calm, and she calms.
Come on, no one's around. I've got us a room and I want to hear everything.
The moment fades away with the two of you walking towards the inn. And as you do, another tickle enters your mind. This is different. Though the honeyed words drip over your mind, sticky and smothering, but there's no warmth, no intimacy.
Darling, perhaps I've been too harsh, too hasty, but I only act this way because I love you. I worry about you when you're away.
Silence. Then another message.
My temper gets the better of me. Come home to me. It'll be different this time, I promise. We need you. I need you.
The next message follows immediately after.
Diantha and I are waiting. I know you won't disappoint us. You're the moon to my sun and her stars, after all.
In the room in Oladel, your fist grips the sheets. In your dream, Alara squeezes your hand. In the present, you feel her drawing shapes on your back. It feels reassuring. And then you fade into sleep. Was it a dream? A memory? Maybe both.
I think that when he wakes up from that, he's gonna take a slow and shaky breath. And he's just gonna take a moment to kind of stare at the dark ceiling of the inn above him. I think just kind of taking a moment to center himself. I think that his chest is tight and his throat feels kind of dry and his vision is blurry a bit from unshed tears that are welling in his eyes. I feel like that was a lot. And he feels confused again. Kind of lost. The dream with Alara had felt it felt really real, as if it was a memory. And the emotions felt raw for it to have just been a dream. I guess that's just another fucking piece to add to this seemingly endless puzzle, though. And then the voice. Was that a dream? He's gonna take a second to kind of focus and feel for the telltale sign of magic and feel around for lingering energy. Does he feel or sense anything?
You do. You take a second, you focus, and you feel the lingering effects of magic. But more importantly, you smell the faintest remnant of oleander.
So it was real. Okay. Knowing that he has actually been messaged kind of almost makes it worse. I feel like a part of him wants nothing more than to believe what he heard and to answer him. Against all rational thought, I think that he misses them terribly. There was a time, not long ago, he would have ran to them immediately after a message like that. And Aurelia showing vulnerability is a really rare thing these days. And when he takes a moment to think about Diantha, he knows that she's probably beside herself with worry, but not likely for the reason that most would assume or that he would hope. It's also close to their anniversary for the three of them. So that's not helping at all. He feels nauseous from the overwhelming loss of them. And he feels like he's alone. And then he kind of rolls over and he sees Alara kind of resting up against the wall.
She's sleeping.
When he sees that, he definitely smiles softly to himself, seeing that he's not really alone. And he's going to reposition Alara gently to lay back down in the bed properly. Before he lays back down himself and falls to sleep again.
Okay, she doesn't wake up.
Okay.
She's a sleepy bitch.
I'm just gonna lay down next to her.
And the night passes.
Morning comes. Who wakes up first?
Varys.
Probably. Yeah, I think he's gonna wake up and he's gonna go downstairs. He's gonna get everybody breakfast.
Does he go to Ivy or Alara? Because Alara's sleeping.
Well, he's gonna put the stuff in his room first. He's gonna wake Ivy up. One at a time. You know?
Ivy stirs.
He give a knock knock.
What do you want?
Good morning.
Ugh.
He cracks the door open. It's like, I even waited after sunrise. to wake you up.
How chivalrous of you.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Is it that or is it the fact that I brought breakfast?
She was going to lob a pillow at your head, but she puts the pillow back down and gets up and puts her robe on.
She says, I can bring it to your room or we can eat it in mine. Up to you.
We can eat it in yours.
Cool. It's set up in there. I'm going to go wake up sleeping redhead.
Ivy scoops up Bia, who's still sleeping.
No, it says sleeping beauty. Sorry.
Sleeping redhead.
Yeah. That's the beer core called her a redhead.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, technically, Isha called her a redhead.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I love that.
I think he's going to say sleeping redhead because it's just funny.
Ivy does laugh.
He goes and into Alara's room. He's gonna shake her.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
How'd you sleep?
Best I have in a long time.
Good.
And you?
Like a rock.
Good.
Are you ready for a day of dam fixing?
I sure am. I even brought breakfast for you. It's in my room. Ivy's already there.
She gets up. Are there pancakes?
There certainly are.
Chocolate chip?
As always.
She runs.
Is there another kind?
Not in my book.
She's already zooming out the room when he's like, is there another kind?
Not in my book.
He chuckles.
Good morning, Ivy.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Tired.
You didn't sleep good?
I slept all right. How did you sleep?
Pretty good.
Good.
Me and Varys slept together.
She perks up.
Oh?
Varys walks in the room.
He came to my room last night to work on a project that you actually, I need to tell you all about.
I don't care about the project. What else?
Well, we worked on the project for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to sleep together.
Mm-hmm. That part. Mm-hmm.
In the same bed she whispers.
Well, generally when you sleep with somebody, it's in the same bed. Unless you do it on, like, the couch or the floor or...
I take it back. He hasn't walked in yet.
There's no couch in my room.
Well, I guess on the desk. You seem like the type of person.
To sleep on a desk?
To sleep with someone on a desk. You know, just like...
It's not big enough.
It doesn't really have to be big enough.
Doesn't sound very comfortable. She's eating pancakes.
Well, how was it?
I mean, I slept really well.
I bet you did.
It's like, I mean, what didn't you sleep well when you slept with Varys?
Alara, I haven't slept with Varys. Did Varys tell you I slept with them?
I watched you two. I slept with the...
Sweetheart, I think that was a dream.
No. Ivy, we just... You slept together the night before.
Hold on. I gotta make some perception checks.
Why am I like this? Why do I do this?
Oh, man. Varys kind of like goes to walk in the room and the guards' faces are... They're listening. They're leaning towards the door. And Varys clears his throat outside and they just kind of stand at attention, but they watch him walk in the room, like, curiously. Did I miss something?
Did you tell Alara that we slept together?
No. He looks so alarmed. He says, no, why would I do that?
Well, apparently Alara thinks that you and I slept together.
In the same bed. Yes.
Right, but no, like, I meant, like, slept together, like you two apparently did last night.
His ears turned pink. We certainly did not.
We did?
Not like that.
Like what?
She's... Alara.
He's like, Jesus Christ.
He sits down and says, she's implying that we slept together like carnally.
Like sex?
Yes. She yells.
Yes, like we had sex together.
No, I just meant we slept in the same... We slept together in the same space.
You keep saying it like that.
No, Ivy, we did not have sex last night.
We did not have sex last night. We slept together.
Paris sits down with some breakfast and is like, don't look so disappointed, God.
I thought you two finally got somewhere, but I guess not.
What in the world are you talking about?
We did get somewhere. Does she see the rock?
The stone? Does she have it?
Ivy has it.
Yeah.
Where would it be?
Probably in her bedroom.
Does Alara see it?
They're in Varys' room.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, so she can't hear?
No.
We did get somewhere. We're going to turn your stone off selectively.
Oh?
And make it so that Queen Titania can only hear you when you want her to. Because we agreed it's very invasive.
Why do you think it's invasive?
Because she can just hear you whenever she wants to hear you. What if you're sleeping with someone, Ivy?
Then I would give you the rock.
Wow. You really thought that through.
It's not thinking it through, it's just...
So I'm obsessed with the fact that the equivalent of a sock on the knob for Ivy is giving you the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if you don't want us to, we don't have to.
No, you two obviously seem bothered by it, so...
It doesn't bother you that she can hear everything you say? Even though you've been trying to lie to her and, like, not tell her everything that was going on, and I had to jiggle rocks in my hand?
I mean, you have a point there.
It is, it's pretty invasive, is all I'm saying. Okay, well, I thought you'd be more excited and grateful, but whatever, I guess, you know.
I would have been, if my hopes hadn't been brought up.
She looks at you confused.
Sure, she shakes his head.
We eat breakfast.
Yeah. Yep.
And we go to the dam.
It also explains why, this conversation certainly explains why the guards were listening in to your conversation a moment ago.
What did they hear?
I don't know. But whatever it was, they seemed interested, so. Anyway, he finishes his breakfast. Shall we?
We shall.
We shall.
Big day. Are you guys ready?
I am.
Let's go.
She smiles.
All right, let's go re-enchant and replace some crystals.
So all the water's out and all the stuff is, the big structural stuff is fixed?
Are you going directly to the dam from here?
Yes. I stop on the way and I give Cohen a Puricore scale.
Oh, Cohen, when he sees you coming, he's like, good morning, Alara.
Good morning.
How did you sleep? Good, I hope.
Really good. I have a present for you.
You do? He's shocked.
How big is the scale she took, by the way?
It's probably like the size of your forearm.
Oh, wow.
Like your forearm to your fingertips, probably.
So she reaches into her pocket and she takes out a huge fucking scale. And it's beautiful. It's iridescent. It's like, it's kind of shiny and glimmery. A Puricore scale.
Oh, wow. It's gorgeous. Are you sure you want to give that to me?
Oh, I took one for myself, too.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate it so much. T-Y.
Of course. Yes, T-Y. T-U. T-U.
T-U.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to go finish fixing the dam now.
Good luck. We'll have dinner waiting, or lunch, wherever you're done. He turns and he puts it up on the shelf. Very carefully.
Makes room for it.
Yeah, he moves stuff around to make it front and center.
How adorable.
He has a collection and he loves it.
Yay!
Happy's a lark. That's so cute.
That's her buddy.
The best bud.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's any other stops you want to make. You guys make your way to the dam and there are people there already. You see some of the townsfolk kind of like carrying some smaller debris in out of the dam. And they see you and they're like, oh, good morning. Morning, you know, just waving goodbye. Hello to you all.
Good morning.
And you make your way down to the powerhouse and get down there. It's dry in here. Only a couple like little splots of water, with some people are already working on mopping up. You see that Wisp is in there and she's fixing the electrical stuff. She's sitting down fixing it. She's still quite bandaged, even though the healers were working on her. Seems like all of her strength hasn't quite come back, but she is there to work on the power. And she sees that, she's like, look who's up in the morning. You guys slept in really late. Varys kind of looks around, says, it's barely past dawn. What do you mean, slept in late?
It is?
Well, it's like 2 hours past.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she shakes her head.
you're feeling better?
Oh, yeah, significantly. Arias worked some magic. And by that, I mean he made me stay in bed. So I'm pretty much almost ready to go. Maybe a couple more days of sleep. I just need to get my hands on something to fix, you know? I hate being idle.
Well, speaking of fixing.
Yeah, I hear you're going to go fix my powerhouse.
You want to help?
Nah, I think you got this.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure.
You were trained by the famous Basil Nightbreeze, Tinkerfae.
I was, but you were shown how to do it. And I would love to see, you know, how Ellisoran tech works. So,
sure.
If you need backup or anything, though, just, you know where I am. I'll be around. Somewhere sitting down, fixing a fucking wire. She pulls on a wire again from the ceiling.
Ivy giggles.
You guys go down. How are you going to approach this?
Well, do I have help?
Yep, you got Varys, you have Ivy, you have your book.
Oh, it's just the three of us?
Yep, for now. If you need anyone else, people will get them for you.
We need to... Oh, three of them are, like, broken, right?
Right.
And then two of them just need the runes recarved, and six needs the glass replaced.
Correct, yeah.
So the glass is easy.
Yeah, the glass is taken care of.
Oh, they did the glass already.
It's not in yet. You see it kind of, as you walk into the room to go down to the powerhouse, you saw the glass panes kind of like leaning up against the wall, ready to be installed when you're done, as well as three crystals leaning up against the wall, ready to be recarved. When they're inert, they look almost like quartz, like clear quartz. But the ones you saw in there that had still some energy in them, all different colors, depending on the way you were looking at it.
Ivy and Varys, do you both want to maybe put the glass back in while I start working on this rune stuff?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
You both are dexterous, right? And careful.
He looks at you, Ivy.
More than I am, I think.
I have a +2 to dexterity.
Should we just let someone else do it?
Well, no. I think it should be fine.
Okay. I'd send Norman over to Ivy. He gives you a 2-finger salute.
She smiles wide.
Varys will carefully help, like, bringing stuff down to the powerhouse, so it's all there, ready for us to work on.
Okay.
You get down there. Ivy and Varys will start working on replacing panes. I don't know if there's going to be much of a role required. Just the ones that are kind of, like, really fucked up. So, like, the ones over the three broken crystals, and then the two scuff ones, they're going to need some rolls.
Okay.
The rest, they're easy to replace. So, we're going to wait for Alara to fix the crystals before we pop the panes back in.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Then I'm going to give myself... Then Norman comes back over and gives me guidance.
Okay. All right. So which one are you going to start with?
I'm going to do the two that need to be recarved, because I feel like that's easier.
You know that you might have to pop them out to recarve them. Do you want to do that, or do you want to just try while they're still in there?
If I think I need to pop them out, I will ask Varys, because they're big, right?
They're the size of Ivy, yep.
Yeah, if... Jesus, I forgot. They're so big.
Yeah. I'll get Varys to make a roll.
Roll.
With guidance?
Yeah. Norman crawls onto your shoulder and frowns and touches your face.
Frowns?
Yeah, Alara programmed him to frown whenever he is around Varys.
Has to give you guidance.
Mm-hmm. It's... And he 2-finger salutes anytime he gives Ivy. And anytime he interacts with Ivy.
He looks at it. He's like,
it's the first time you've seen it.
Yeah, he's like, Alara, why is your spite of frowning?
Because he's talking to you.
So he's not happy to see me?
No, he is, but you frown a lot. And so when I programmed him to frown when he sees you.
He chuckles. Okay. With the guidance, that's a 21.
Hey.
He pops the first crystal out. I'm going to go for the second. So... That one's a 23. No problem. He has them out. And he lays them down carefully for you to recarve.
What do I roll?
So you're going to roll sleight of hand.
Sleight of hand. Yes, 25.
No problem at all. The first one that you carve is like, it's almost like an exact replica. No, it pretty much is. It is an exact replica. Yay. Of the runes before. You carved them so perfectly, it's like it was never damaged at all.
Do I have to roll for all of them?
You're going to roll for the next one, yeah.
Oh boy. Well, how's a 2 on the die for a total of 11?
Alara, you're working on that one. And as you're kind of like carving in, I think the second rune, runic equation, you carve in the wrong rune. And instead of containing the energy, it suddenly discharges. I need everybody to make a dexterity saving throw, essentially.
Alara goes, hit the deck, but she says it too late.
16.
Oh, well, me too.
Perfect.
We've been rolling the same today.
Yeah.
Also a 16.
No.
Triple 16. Hey.
666.
The 16 crew.
The 16 crew.
So you all ducked just in time, even though Alara warns you delayed.
Mm-hmm.
As you watch, like, this kind of arcane lightning reach out in several different directions, all different colors.
Love it.
Causing some structural damage in the roof.
Love it. Can I get a mending, please?
You hear Wisp fucking cackling in the hallway. And she shouts, "Hail, mending needed in the powerhouse." And you hear someone come down to help. And in walks Felrith.
Hey.
He's going to float up to the ceiling and start mending that up.
Awar nudges Ivy when she sees Felrith floating up to the ceiling.
Ivy looks at her like, yeah?
He can fly.
He is a dragon, Alara.
Honestly, it's probably levitate. Or fly. Could be. I don't know. But he's watching too. He's very fascinated. But yeah, so that one, that crystal, you come back to look at it. Mm-hmm. Destroyed. You need another one.
Cool. Need another crystal on aisle 3.
Wisp calls down and he's like, that's going to be a bit. We have to transport.
Okay, I'll work on the other ones in the meantime.
Okay.
We should have had backups.
Should have.
Okay, now I need to roll to do a complete carving.
Yes.
Oh boy. Okay, that's good. 18 plus 4, 22 plus 8 is 30.
30? No issue.
She's like, I'm not fucking this up. And then I get to roll 2 more times for the other 2?
You do.
Oh my god. This is, why would you do this to me? Nope. That one is a 6 plus 8 is a, what's 6 plus 8? 14.
14? Just shy. You almost get it, but you kind of, you mess up the angle of the last rune. It just, it's not.
Alara says to Ivy, if you guys want to go get lunch, this is going to take a while.
You know, why don't you and I go get the other crystal?
All right.
Get 3 extra, just in case.
All right.
She says as she,
all right.
As she gets an 18. That's 18 is not bad.
No, I actually 18 makes the Ducey.
Okay.
So that one is just right.
Okay. And then one more.
So you already did 5.
Oh, so now I'm just waiting. I need 2 crystals.
Yeah. So while you're carving the last crystal, so 3 are fixed, 2 are exploded or rendered inert. The 2 that are done, Varys is going to pick up 1 and carry it up. Going to make a strength check for him. With a dirty 20, no problem. He lifts that, carries it out. And Ivy, are you going with him or are you going to stay with Alara?
I'll stay with Alara for moral support.
Okay.
Because she might need it.
She's just like super focused carving. Because I imagine it takes a bit of time, right?
Oh yeah, it's going to take a while for sure.
Yeah, okay.
And as you're carving the 3 that you succeed on, you watch as Varys kind of comes in and out with removing the crystals and coming in with new ones. So by the time you're done the 3rd one, you have 2 new ones.
Okay, wish me luck, everyone.
All right.
You got this.
Natural 20 for a 30 again.
That one is phenomenal. The best work you've ever seen.
She's like, so her brow is sweating, you know? Last one.
Okay.
Nope. That is, well, 12, 13, 14, 16? Nope.
No, I'm sorry. It does not make the DC.
Did you get an extra one, Varys?
Nope, but I can get another one. Takes that one out. I'm going to make him a strength roll.
How's your day going, Ivy?
Good.
Ivy just gets to sit there for moral support. It's going great.
Yeah, I'm just watching. You're doing great.
Thanks.
So Varys struggles to lift this one, for a second, and then he gives another try and gets it and carries it out. After a little bit, he comes back with another one.
Remember that time I got stuck trying to pick rocks out of the dirt for like 3 hours?
Yeah.
Well, this is not that bad. This is 14. This is 17. It's 18.
You just missed it. DC's 18.
She throws her tools, like shakes her hands out.
Varys is like, maybe, you know, take a breath or something. Like, take a break. Drink some water.
She drinks some water. She goes for a swim in the lake and she comes back.
Yeah, and by that time, the other one's been cleared out. Another one has been, 2 more have been brought in.
Okay. Oh my god. Oh, wait. Got it. No. 17.
Okay, we have 1 more chance.
One
more.
Because he goes and gets another one. Natural 20.
Fuck yeah. Another perfect one. No, that was the last crystal that they had in stock. So.
Oh my god.
This is not consequenceless.
Is it like midnight?
It's been a while. You guys have had snacks. I feel like Ivy and Varys have been chatting.
Yeah.
Anything interesting?
I don't know. Anything you want to chat about, Ivy?
How you feeling? Just how's the day going? Do you think we'll be done in time for dinner?
I certainly hope so, you know. I think the one thing that they talk about that's kind of important that I will mention, while Alara is like hard focused at work, I think he's going to look at Ivy and he's going to be like, you know, I don't think I got a chance to say this yesterday, but you both have done an incredible job. You know that, right?
With what?
With this whole job that you did for Titania.
Oh, I think it's gone well.
I think so too. You did great. Mm-hmm. And when you're awkward about it, he's like,
yeah.
Just accept the compliment.
Do I have to? Or?
Yes, you do.
All right. I accept your compliment.
Good. There were many more where that came from. So get used to it.
Great. Perfect. Cool.
I noticed you snuck off yesterday.
No, you didn't.
I sure did. You think I wouldn't notice when you leave?
No one noticed.
A couple people did, for sure.
I just wanted to tell her family what she said, you know?
Who and what?
Oh, yeah, I saw Laika's ghost and then had a chat with her and then the Grim Reaper came and...
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, the Grim Reaper.
They just stand there and stare at each other.
Yeah, he's trying to assess if you're trying to fuck with him. Says you're fucking with me, right?
No.
What the fuck?
I saw the Grim Reaper.
Were you just never going to tell me about this, or...?
We were probably going to remember.
Pinches the bridge of his nose. Says, I've never heard of somebody seeing one of those, you know?
A Grim Reaper?
Yes. At least it's never gone well.
No, that's fair. I mean, the Grim Reaper came and helped her cross over, which was good.
He nods. Where does that happen?
In that place where Alara said that she had a vision. She was still there, and she asked me to, you know, tell her family her last words or whatever, and...
Are you both all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I think Alara is, but I'm not 100% sure.
I'll ask her later. I don't want to distract her from the carving.
Probably best not to.
Yeah.
Boom!
Yeah, that's when one of them goes up in smoke as well. I hope we'll get the next one. And I think...
Love it.
I think that's the only conversation that isn't innocuous, random talk or picking on each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So now... The fun part begins.
You gotta install them. Alara, I'm gonna get you to roll. What would be the best roll to give to, like, for, like, explaining how to put something in? Not sexually.
I didn't say shit.
Intelligence?
Yeah, let's go with an intelligence check.
17 plus 4 is 21.
21? Okay. I'm gonna roll strength or varus to install them. So natural 20.
Nice. That should count for 2. Just saying.
Okay, those are done. Hey, you don't have to convince me. Okay, 21. All right, the installation goes over for the next, like, hour and a half, I think. It takes a long time. He gets them in for you. You put them in place properly. It's like a assembly line, kind of, the way you two are moving. And by the time the hour and a half is done, they're in. The glass panes go on, and you're done. The only thing left to do is to turn the power on, which I think is a call that's left to Wisp.
We did it!
Woohoo!
All right. I can't wait to get out of this fucking dam.
Had enough?
Same.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Thanks so much for listening. We are grateful for the love and support.
If you're enjoying the show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review and tell your friends about us too. A like, subscribe, or share goes a long way for small creators like us.
If you want more Tales of Three, head over to our Patreon, where we have a ton of free bloopers and episode extras, as well as some paid tiers with even more perks.
Speaking of, we want to give a huge shout out to our Green Fiend Patreon supporters, Michael, Jen Bear, and Sang Luna.
Also, if you join the Red Rogues for $5 a month, you'll get access to RDCC, an after show where we deep dive into character motivations, player reactions, and give a glimpse at our creative process.
And with that, our story pauses here for today. Join us next time as we continue our adventures, and remember, it's never too late to start your own.
Bye! Bye.
Hello, this is Ivy.
Hello, Ivy.
Yes, hello. My name is Ivy.
Are you also an alcoholic?
And I am a whimsy-holic.
A whimsy?
I'm addicted to whimsy.
I don't think you actually are.
Have you seen the people she's attracted to?
You're not very whimsical.
I'm so whimsical.
None of us are whimsical.
I am.
Okay.
In order of whimsy, actually, in order of whimsy, it's Varys, me, and then Alara.
You think so?
What?
I don't think Varys is whimsical either.
What does that even mean?
Who, like, I don't... Anyways, welcome back to Comment Reads. Ivy, you were introducing?
Yes, I did the introducing.
Okay, I'll read the next one. Episode 35, I accidentally cut off the title, so
you didn't.
I didn't?
My puppeteers, Hanya, cut it off.
Oh. Well, Jen Barry said, I was super into the combat, and then probably became an emotional wreck at work, and had to walk away from my desk. F it. Why do I get all the ones with the curse words? It
was you another do this amazing to yourself.
Episode. Do you guys pre-read them and pick which ones you want?
No.
No.
It was an amazing episode, and yes, it was very sad.
No. I'm glad it hit you where it was supposed to.
Right in
but
the
I'm
gut.
Sorry you were upset at work.
Right in the emotions. I get so emotional.
Episode 36, Crawling Back to You. The fucking two nat 20 deck saves. That was amazing. I hope Hot Dude becomes an ally later. There's just so many scars at this point. Poor dude. How to break Alara, mention your aunt as a god. Poor Vez really needs a true break.
This was my favorite episode.
Thank you very much.
You do.
Thank you for recognizing that. So instead of firing me, just give me more vacation.
Valid.
I just brought you back from vacation in order to do these comment reads.
Yes, and because of that, I will be extending my vacation.
Oh.
No, sorry, you already put in your PTO. We can't extend it.
Okay, you got the next one.
Oh, it's me.
I know the title of this one. It's some vague witty banter. Even though I cut it off.
We just did some vague witty banter.
We always do some vague witty banter. It's kind of what people
without it.
Like us, yeah.
Was it episode 37?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, okay. some vague witty banter. Laughing so fucking hard. With the thank you from Vess to Alara. Air quotations, I won't take your firstborn child. You could always have his firstborn child. Also in air quotations. The fucking mirror up to his nose.
I can't talk. Because I was reading ahead of you and I was like, I'm obsessed that Varys got this one.
Oh, God. The fucking mirror up to his nose. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What?
I checked if you were breathing and you were like, Laura, right. For God's sake.
You are very asleep.
You were right, so right. Tired.
Yeah, well, can you blame me? Honestly?
You had a big day out, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Met some new people.
Oh, yes.
Shredded
the insight check. At smooth talking her way through, laugh my fucking ass off. There's too much to react to.
I don't know what that's in reference to.
I don't know.
It's weird, I usually remember everything.
Yes.
Yes, your mind is like a steel trap, for sure.
Your whimsy has faded. Your whimsy has failed you today in this moment.
I don't have whimsy. Was
whimsiest.
That four?
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay, well, thanks for leaving comments. If it was three, gotta wait till next time. But thank you for real, and please leave more, because we have so much fun doing this.
And questions, you know, if you have questions as well.
Alara, just do that.
I have a speech, Ivy.
Alara just sits
somebody
there.
Somebody screenshot that, please.
Yeah, it's too late.
Damn it.
Do it again. Come on. Wait.
Are you ready?
That's the judgment face. That is the judgment face.
So good. I love it.
I do love making stupid faces and seeing what my face will actually contort into.
I'm going to take these headphones and throw them in the fucking garbage.
Throw them in the fire.
Into the fire.
Okay.
Do you think he would let me ride him?
I just snorted.
It took so much for me to say that with a straight face.
I love that you plan to.
Yeah.
She's nervous.
Yeah, she is nervous. Ivy is nervous.
So I guess it's three fixed, right?
If you say so. I lost count. I thought I was counting and then I forgot.
Me too.